Amen. All right, we will be going for certain reasons. Dr. Bill Wisdom couldn't be physically here, but he will speak via satellite. All right, so the next person that will come up on the screen is a senior pastor of the Living Word Church from Chicago, Dr. Bill Wisdom.
Hello and welcome to the West Africa Faith Believers Convention. Praise God. Amen. Pastor Poju and First Lady Toyin, I tell you, it's such a pleasure and such a privilege to come before you today, because things being where they are, we're kind of restricting our travel, but you can understand that. But the word is still the word. Praise God. And there is no limit on the power of the word and what the word can do, no matter where it's preached. So I just want to thank you so much for having me again to be able to speak there. You know, I always tell a story. When I first started with Pastor Poju, he wasn't even married, you know. And so that shows you how far back I go with him. But I just want to say to all the believers there, you know, I salute you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for thank you for having me, and I just celebrate you for just being steadfast in the Word of God, you know, through all of this that we're going through. Oh, we're coming out, and I want you to start saying that the pandemic is over in Jesus' name. Say it with me. The pandemic is over in Jesus' name. See, if we can say this all around the world, the church has got control of things. It's the devil's not controlling anything. Pandemic's not going to, or China, wherever it comes from, it's not going to control us. We control this earth. We have been given dominion over this whole earth. We're going to take control of it. So, well, we're going to bring you a word here today, and I guess we have three sessions that we're going to have with you. And I just want you to get ready to take some good notes. Now we're going into some good things here. And, you know, I always stretch you a little bit. Praise God. God is stretching me, so I'm going to stretch you. Hallelujah. But thank God to your leadership. Give your leadership a hand clap. Praise God. Because they've been steadfast and unmovable. Hallelujah. Walking by faith and not by sight. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So let's pray. We'll get started. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you so much for the word of God, thanking you for the privilege of speaking again at this great church. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that's on me, on them, on the ears of the hearers, that we not only hear, but do the will of God. Father, I thank you that as you work through me, speak through my mind, think through my mind, speak to my lips, that this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force, and that signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow the word preached. And we thank you for it and call it done, all in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? Praise God. All right, let's open our Bibles, please. Let's go to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. He says here, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel." Now, this is God now. "For signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion." So I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders. So that's big. That's big. You and I are designed for signs and wonders. Now, I'm saying that we might on the outside look like other people, but there's something under the hood. We have got something great on the inside of us and seeds of greatness. But we can do things because we're hooked and connected up with the Holy Ghost, God Almighty. And the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is powerful, and we have the kingdom in us. We'll talk about some of that. Let's go to another scripture now. And this particular scripture here There's a second one we have from Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. He says, "And now, brethren, I commend thee to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Now, he is saying, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now, that's a powerful term today, grace. And some people have kind of misused it, but it's a powerful term. You can get grace knowledge. Grace knowledge can come to you when you have never learned a certain subject or something. Sometimes read in your Bible, read Job chapter 32 and starting at verse 6 going through 10. And read it in the Message translation and see how powerful that is. That some people think because they have a lot of experience, you know, they can have some edge over other people. And some people think because they've gone to a certain school and so forth. Not anymore. Because you and I, as believers, can get grace. We can get grace knowledge. Grace knowledge is knowledge that only comes by faith and only given by the Holy Ghost. And he can give us knowledge that's above the knowledge of this world. You know, I look at innovation and look how innovation is happening. And on the first level, you've got innovation that is incremental, meaning that one thing gets invented and then something follows on. They have a new feature and so forth. Incremental innovation is something that people kind of expect to happen. And then it's evolution innovation. That goes just a little bit further than this first level of innovation. And then you've got disruptive innovation. Now, that takes kind of a leap. And that leap that it takes is like in this country, you have taxi cabs. And the taxi cabs come and so forth and so on. But all of a sudden, somebody came up with something called an Uber, you know, or whatever you might call it in your country. And that's when anybody can have a car and get a permit to be able to pick people up and take them around. And it really shattered the taxi cab business. I mean, they protested, they did everything, but they couldn't stop it because you can't stop innovation. But then you have another one that only the saints can reach, and it's called dimensional innovation. Over in the scriptures, you find over in Psalm chapter 72 and verse 18, he talks about the kind of thing. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things." Only does wondrous things. Now, what are wondrous things? You want to put this in your notes. Things that no others can match. Things that no others can match. That's one thing you want to put down. What are wondrous things? Things that leave all others far behind. Leave all others far behind. You and I are designed for a quantum leap of innovation. And what happens with that innovation, you and I are designed to lead the world. You see, let's say seven mountains, mountain of religion or mountain of entertainment, mountain of you know, business, a mountain of so forth and so on, all seven mountains. Well, you and I, as believers, are supposed to occupy every one of those mountains. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. That's found in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And we shall reign forever and ever. See, I've been preaching a series called Preparing for His Coming. Because we got to get ready for Jesus to come. When Jesus comes, we're not, nobody's going to be behind in rent and, you know, hoping that this thing is over so they can get out of here. No, 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 no. Church is going to be an attraction. I'm talking about you. Going to make you an attraction. See, if he can give you great knowledge and he can give you angels that encamp around about you and keep you in all of your ways, no evil shall befall you, neither any plague come nigh your dwelling. Hey, you got it made. You got it made. So what is he going to do with that? He's going to let your light so shine that people can see your good works and glorify your Father. People be drawn into the kingdom. See, he's about to use you to get nations born again. And so it's a powerful thing. So now we've got to start thinking like God because we're basically in God's class. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, You ever see that in the regular King James, and then we look at it in the Amplified. He says here in the King James, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And if you look at that in the Amplified, he says, "Therefore be imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father." So you, because you've got God in you now, and we'll talk about that, now you can imitate God. If you practice his word, you're going to imitate him. Because his word really comes from him and is God's thoughts put on paper. So when you read his word and do that, you're practicing his thoughts, which acts just like God. You see what I'm saying? But you're capable of doing that. That's why when Jesus joined, and here's Peter in Matthew chapter 14, he ended up walking on water. And he said, wow, you know, well, yeah. I mean, you can go far beyond the natural thinking. And that's the benefit of you imitating God and being an attraction to people. And you're going to be fixing things in this society that nobody else can fix. See, they're busy trying to fix things with green deals and all of this kind of stuff. No, it takes the blessing to fix the curse. And you're the one that's got blessed. Praise God. All right, let's look at this last particular scripture, 1 Thessalonians, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians. And look at verse 5 and verse 23. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." All right, spelled with a W. Sanctify you wholly. "And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord." Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. All right? Now, we ain't going to that because that has a lot in there. Praise God. There is a lot in there. So we're gonna do something with that. All right, let's look at leadership first. Leadership. Because the problem with the world is the church. The problem with the world is the church. The church has been sent here so that it can bring forth things that are basically God planned for to be in this earth, independent of what's going on around. The church is self-sufficient. But let's just look here at the leadership, because the problem with the world is the church. Church hadn't grown up, or church hadn't matured, or whatever have you. And then the problem with the church is the leadership. So we got to make sure the leadership's right. Because the leadership puts a lid on the congregation. I mean, that God just kind of made it that way. He made it so people, we need a leader. And so God, in times of Moses, he selected Moses. And then in Moses leaving, he selected Joshua and so forth. But he anointed them both so that they could lead people and lead people in the way that God wanted them to be led. And one of the biggest things out here now, problem with the society, is poor leadership. And he says over here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, in verse 13, and he said, "Let them alone, for they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Isn't that interesting? So there can be people who are in front that can't see. Now, what is he talking about? Not natural sight. In this case, he's talking about spiritual sight. No revelation. No understanding of what's to come. You see, when God selects a leader, that leader should be anointed so that that leader can see things to come. When I was in the military, I was flying fighters in the military. And in fighters, we have a radar system in a cockpit. And that radar is totally, it's just painting all the time what's out in front of me. And it can paint clouds, and you'll see clouds out in front of you. And some of the clouds, it'll paint, and they take a different color. And when they take a different color, you don't go through it. Because in some of those clouds, they have big rime ice, big balls of ice like hail. And that they'll try to tear up an airplane. It is rough inside of some of those clouds. And some of them reach 50,000 feet, so you can't go over them sometimes. And so what you have to do is paint that picture and see that cloud so that you can go around that cloud and be able to, you know, keep everybody safe. Well, the same thing about a leader, that when God selects a leader, all leadership is spiritual. And it's either being led by the Spirit of God or the spirit of the enemy. And the spirit of the enemy tries to put up leadership. Why? To lead them the way he wants them to go. We want godly leadership. Blessed the nation whose God is the Lord. And so as we get godly leadership, he's giving leadership what leadership should see so that leaders can lead the people around the problems that may come or lead them to safety. And so the church has been selected as a leader. And that's why we want to put our leaders in different political positions, different businesses, so forth and so on. Why? So they keep making right decisions. A lot of times we just get on the bad leadership and, oh, he's corrupt, so forth and so on. Well, maybe because we need to use our influence and our dominion to put the right leadership in place so that the people can rejoice. See, when the wicked are in leadership, the people mourn. And so what we got to do is, again, take that mountain, that political mountain, that business mountain. We got to take it. But you can't take it unless you have revelation. You can't take it unless you get some grace knowledge. You can't take it unless you have right teaching, so forth and so on. So that's where we are. And I know I've said a lot now, but we're going to go into it in the next couple of lessons as well. So here's a leader. Now, what happens to the people? Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. What happens to the people? And what I say is the problem is trees. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13. The problem gets to be trees. And look what he said. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Wow. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Now, what is he saying here? He is saying that as plants were planted, when he talks about plants, let's call it trees. So when he talks about a tree, he talks about something that is supposed to be a producer. Supposed to be a producer. And so we can say every tree which is in you that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Now, these trees are producing. And what are they producing? Well, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, he starts to explain that about these trees. And he said, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by its fruit. Now, this is interesting because if I've got apples, then it must be an apple tree. If I got pears, it must be a pear tree. In other words, there is no conflict there. And Jesus used nature to teach most of his messages. So he is saying that if I've got debt in my life, and this is the way I live, then there's a debt tree. All right? And if I got sickness, and it's a sickness, when I was young, I used to have hay fever. You know, a certain season, I started sneezing. And then I got saved. I got taught the kingdom. I got taught the fact that, wait a minute, I've been delivered from sneezing, from hay fever. So notice what happened. I took the word and put the seed inside of me that grew up to a new tree. And that new tree came and hay fever left. So I wasn't trying to get something, get rid of something. I needed to receive something. So Jesus never talked about getting rid of anything. That's not the deal. That's working from the outside in. He works you from the inside out. Just receive something. So I received that seed that talked about how I was supposed to live in terms of my health. And as I received that seed, it started producing in my life. And the next thing you know, hay fever was gone. Wow. I didn't even notice it was gone. You know? And so that's what he's talking about. Here is Jesus. We'll come back to Matthew chapter 12. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, very, very familiar chapter of Scripture. Over in Mark chapter 11, verse 14. Here is Jesus. Here's a fig tree that bore no fruit. No, well, that's not the way a tree is supposed to live. A tree is supposed to bear fruit. But here again, I think he's talking about a tree of religion. And how religion has a form of godliness but denies the power. It doesn't have any power to it. So it can't produce anything. Now, every tree is supposed to be a producer. We'll talk about this in a minute. So look what it says. And Jesus answered and said to it, "No man eats food of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Now, if you go on down, you'll see Jesus went to Jerusalem after he spoke to this tree. And then it came that night in verse 19. He went on back up to where Martha and Mary and them were, and that's where he stayed overnight. Then he came back, verse 20, and he came back, and this is what happened. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. All right? Now, and Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away." And here's what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God." In other words, have the God kind of faith. And then he goes to the next verse and says, "For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he said shall come to pass," he's going to have whatsoever he says. Then he said, "There, verily I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, just believe you've received them, and you shall have them." Now he's taking us back to the Garden of Eden. He's making us producers again. He's also having it so that if there's any tree, anything that you don't want, he said you can speak it. You can speak to it and get this thing out of your life. He even talked about this again over in Luke's gospel, and Luke chapter 17 and verse 6. Luke chapter 17 and verse 6. Watch what he says here. He says, "And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it should obey you." The Greek says, in a linear Greek, says it would obey you. Now, what is he saying? A sycamine tree. I remember when I was a kid, we had trees, and we had a bush called a blackberry bush. And it gave blackberries, which are little berries that are really good to eat, make good pies, and so forth. But then we had another tree. It grew pretty big and was called a black mulberry tree. Now, it had the things that imitated blackberries, but it wasn't. And they weren't fit to eat. So he's saying you can have a tree in you that's producing something that's not fit to eat, that's not fit to live. It's not fit for your life. And that's what happened when you and I came through life. Before we got born again, we were given things and taught things and experienced things and went through things and authority figures gave us and so forth. But it planted some seed in us that grew trees that were producing fruit that were not fit to eat. And this is what happened is we were not meant to be in debt. We were not meant to be sick. We were not meant to fail. We don't see all these things. But, everybody's got to fail sometime. See, we bought that because we didn't know the truth. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So every seed or plant or tree in you, which the Heavenly Father has not planted, I decree is going to be rooted up in the name of Jesus. So I'm just saying, part of my message to you is to perhaps get rid of some old trees. Some old thinking that we've had that was not the thinking of God. You and I are supposed to be producers. Producers. Over in Psalm chapter 92 and verse 12. Look what he calls us in verse 12. He calls us a palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Look it up sometimes. Look up palm trees. See how many products come from a palm tree. Just, I mean, huge number. All kinds of cooking oils, all kinds of medicine, so forth and so on, come from a palm tree. You're going to be like a tree planted by the streams of water, bringing forth much fruit in your season. Isn't that powerful? And look what it says in Psalm 92 in verse 14. He says this in verse 14. He says, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." Wow. Now, That's why in the Hebrew there's no word for retirement, because there's no retirement. Why? You may leave a job or may not be doing the same thing you used to do for years, but there's no retirement. You never retire from producing. Never retire from producing. You're to be a producer. So, what happened when Adam sinned? Adam lost his relationship with God. This is Genesis chapter 3. He lost his fellowship. And now he's, instead of righteous, he's unrighteous. What happened also? Adam lost his assignment. In other words, he got put out of the garden. Now he's got to just go for himself. Next thing Adam lost. Adam lost the ability for God to provide for him. He lost the ability for God to provide for him. Now these are things that Adam lost. And one of the things that Adam lost, number four, is that Adam lost the control over his own destiny. He lost the control over his own destiny. Now let me show you an example of that. This is Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Now this is when Jesus told the disciples, get into the boat, let's go over to the other side. Next verse. And then he said, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind that beat into the ship, and now, so that it was now full. So here is a storm coming up out of nowhere and sweeping water up and banging it right into the ship. Now I'm sure they're trying to get this water out. Now we know that the devil was behind the storm because Jesus rebuked it. So we know the storm was not from God. Jesus did not rebuke anything God sent. But he rebuked it. And so we know that Satan can get behind things and cause storms, because we can see it in the book, see? Because what we've been taught up to this point is, well, those things just happen, you know, weather patterns and so forth. That's a tree, and you better get it out. Okay, so next thing that happens here is, I mean, I've been flying sometimes to go into a place, let's say I'm going to a place, it was one time in the United States, and I'm in the low clouds, I was going to land there, and we have our, you know, own ministry airplane, and so we're going to land there, but the pilots said to me, now, even though I'm a pilot, I'm not actively flying right now, but I'm coming back, praise God, but they said, Dr. Winston, we can't get in there. I said, whoa. I said, you made a low approach? Yeah, made a low approach, couldn't see the runway, all the clouds and the storm coming in. I said, take another turn. And we prayed, me and whoever was on board, we held hands and prayed and agreed in Jesus' name and moved it and commanded it to open up. That thing opened up just like the Red Sea, and we landed. So you do have this destiny mastery. Glory to God. God just gave me that. Write that down. Praise God. That's a seed. And so what happened was, as we came back around next time, we landed, everything was fine. So my point to you is this whole thing about your destiny. So what happened to us, and here, they grew up, and let's see where I am now. And in the hind part of ship, he was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? See, in their minds, they could do nothing about it. And that's what Adam lost in the fall. He lost his ability to control his destiny. And right now, the world, now people don't know God, they think they're in control, even if, especially if they got some money. That's just like straightening up chairs on the Titanic. You ever heard of the Titanic? It was that big ship that nobody thought it could sink, but it sunk. Now, my point to you is that, yeah, you're doing some things, but you still, your destiny is still under control of one that's taken you somewhere that you don't want to go. And I'm just saying that's what Satan was doing. So he's going to sink their boat. He's going to kill him, and he's going to put it in the headlines that fishermen died at sea. You know what I mean? But thank God they had Jesus on board. You got him inside of you. He is on board. Wake him up. Praise God. Amen. It's time for deliverance. You've been in that storm too long. A lot of people, every time you see them, well, how you doing? Well, I'm going through. You better get through because your body and you are not designed to go through that forever. You're supposed to come. The Bible talks about quickly coming through things. You'll find that over in 2 Corinthians, I think, and glory to God. I'll think of it in just a minute. But the idea about it is that God can quickly bring you through things. He can show you a way of escape, so forth and so on. So that's where you should be. Now, if you have a tree in you that says, I'm not in control of this destiny, then you won't be in control of it. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, Proverbs 23:7, so is he. That God says this. He said this over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 23. He said to them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So what is he saying here? That if you believe, according to the word of God, then all things, those things become possible. Now, if you don't believe, they don't become possible for you. Now, if I believe, they may be possible for me. I'm going through the same thing you're going through. It may be possible for me, but may not be possible for you because you're not a believer. Now, that could work the other way around. I'm not pointing out anybody or talking down at all. What I'm saying is, it's according to what you believe. So the tree represents your belief system. So it represents my belief system. Now I got to get this belief system right. You know, because this is going to determine whether I'm going to reach my destiny or not. Not a man. Well, the man is keeping me down. Wrong. That's not true. Well, my country is not that prosperous. Wrong. Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Well, if I just had a little bit more of this and that, wrong again. Look what he says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Good scripture. You want to memorize this. He says, then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Every nation, and he that feareth God and worketh righteousness, means and has the same access to his blessing. See? One of the things that happened when Jesus came into your life is you got your authority back. You've got your dominion back. Nobody now can stop you but you. Fabulous. Nobody. Boy, I tell you, when I first heard Dr. Frederick Casey Price, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. When I first heard him preach that, that was liberating. Because I'd been taught just a different. Well, in everybody's life, a little rain going to fall and storms. Well, they were quoting scripture, but they didn't tell me that I had authority over it. I could get an umbrella and put it up so I couldn't get rained on. Hey, I'm redeemed from the curse. I mean, either that's true or we need to fold that thing up and go on down here and get ourselves a milkshake. You know what I mean? So it's true, but I got to believe it. And sometimes believing comes when we take that scripture and meditate it. I have a little book called The Missing Link of Meditation. Because I've got to meditate these truths. See, meditation gives God an invitation so he can give you a revelation for manifestation. Isn't that powerful? Meditation gives God an invitation to bring you a revelation that will yield a manifestation. That's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. I mean, I came to Chicago with $200. I don't know how many nearer that is, but it's not much money in America. I'm telling you, you got $200. You are broke. And that's all you have to live on. You got your family in tow, you know. But notice where I am now. Why? Because nobody can stop Bill Winston's success but Bill Winston. So you're not waiting on God to give you success. He's already given you success. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And we're going to get back to it. We're going to have to end this because we're running. I'm not sure how much time we got, but praise God. I'm trying to look at it now. I think we got 6 minutes. I don't know. But anyway, let me keep going here. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that was written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now I want you to come back to the head of that scripture and watch me read that again. This book of the law shall not depart out of Bill Winston's mouth, but Bill Winston shall meditate therein day and night, that Bill Winston may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then Bill Winston shall make his way prosperous, and then Bill Winston shall have good success. They're putting it on God. In God's mind, he's made your way prosperous, and he's seated. He is seated. He has done it. God has done all he wants to do and going to do about your success. He's done it all. Now we got to receive. Praise God. Woo! Receive. And some people try to receive something real small so to make sure that God delivers. Hey, the bigger the better. Yes, it is. The bigger, the better. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, and we'll finish up at verse 35 for this particular session. Okay? He says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, notice what they did on that ship. They cried out, we're going to die. Don't you care? This is marked after 4 now. Don't you care? Now, here's Jesus been caring for him for a couple of years. And don't you care? And so, what did Jesus do? He arose. He rebuked the wind, see, and said to the sea, peace be still. Isn't that something? Now, this is what we want to take you up to, because it's time for miracles. See, we've been playing around long enough trying to win people basically by preaching the word. One miracle is worth 1,000 sermons. One miracle. And that enemy tried to keep you away from miracles. You remember the man in John chapter 9? The disciples and Jesus were passing by and they pointed out to Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither. Why? Because none of them sinned. Adam sinned. And what happened? He opened the door to the curse. And what happened? The curse is coming down through people. All of a sudden, somebody's born with a weakness to immune system that would keep back cancer. So they're born with it, the genes and so forth. So when Jesus makes you whole, he fixes genes. He fixes cells. He fixes all those things that'll carry memory from one generation to the next. Fixes all of that. That's called being made whole. Jesus makes you whole. Glory to God. And so what happened here is they're crying out. So what happens? Now Jesus takes them and he rebukes the wind, says to the sea, peace be still. And the Bible says there's a great calm. One translation says immediate calm. Why? Because that's what a miracle gives you. Sometimes people pray for healing, and it starts to amend. It starts over time. No. We've done that. We're going to another place now. We're going to a place where it's right now. That's what I want, right now. And that's what the enemy doesn't want. So here's that boy. Next thing you know, the one who had the blinded eyes. And so Jesus spit on the ground. Why? He's following the Holy Spirit to get these kind of miracles. You got to listen. You got to listen for God and just do it. And so next thing you know, he listened for him. And next thing you know, he took the clay, put it on his eyes, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. See, all this was an instruction by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Look at John chapter 14, verse 10. All this is instruction by the Holy Ghost. See, Jesus was following the Holy Ghost. He was following the Spirit of God, and God was working the miracles. Look what he says here. He says here, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So when Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, the words that I speak not of myself. See, he's speaking words that he's hearing. And when you got God in you, you can hear God. This is all the principles of the kingdom. And it'll work every time. Miracles. Somebody said, wow, that was a miracle. Woo, wow. Hey. Miracles are just as predictable as anything else. As anything else. See, you can get miracles on demand. And this is where I'm taking you. This is what we're going to be talking about. Some of this. Why? Because we got to go to the next step. We come halfway. Let's go all the way. Praise God. But look what he said in verse 12 now. And Jesus is still talking. And then Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to the Father. Isn't that wonderful? So he's not saying we just do his work, and Jesus was a miracle worker. But he said, not only these works, but greater works shall he do, because I'm going to the Father. Now, where did that come from? New plants, new trees. Let me show you how big some of the trees are that might be in people. I'm putting a picture up now, and they're going to show it and just show you how big some of the trees are that just may be growing in people. My goodness. Look at the size of this tree. And some of these trees are so big, they can run a highway through its trunk. Isn't that something? My wife and I went to Brazil one time, and they said, we want to take you to the fig tree restaurant. Well, I'm thinking that a little twig, maybe in the middle of the somewhere around the restaurant. No. It was one fig tree stretched out, all covering those couple of hundred chairs and tables in that particular restaurant. And I said, whoa, that's a fig tree. Now I'm thinking, The tree in me now told me that the fig tree was something small. No. When he cursed that fig tree and it dried up from the root less than 24 hours, he said, you can do the same thing. You can curse that cancer. You can curse. Are you following what I'm saying? I took my debts when I found out about this. I put them on the kitchen table. I just piled them up, you know. And I said, debts? I'm talking to you. Now, understand, I had to talk loud because they'll talk back. You know what I mean? It's not like that tree. Well, I think that tree did talk back because Jesus said he answered it and spoke to it. I said, I command you in the name of Jesus, be paid off, dematerialized, disappear, go away in Jesus' name. Record number of time, those things dried up. Now, understand, the Holy Ghost directed me. He'd tell me to sow here, watch it, reap here, pay it on the debt there, so forth. Record time, gone. I'm saying he'll do it for you. When you see Jesus doing something, he's a sample son. That means you can do it too. Glory to God, you can do it too. When he sent those disciples out, he said, now I want you to do something. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you receive, freely you give. Just what he did. So I'm saying this is our time. This is our time. Let's just finish up here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. Matthew 12, verse 35, here's what he says. A good man out of the good deposit of the heart brings forth good things. Now, I said deposit of the heart, okay? It says here, treasure of the heart. But let's call it deposit, because what happens is you deposit the Word of God in your heart. Spirit. This is spiritual speaking now. So you deposit in your heart. And what happens in there? The Holy Ghost gives increase. The Bible says one sows, another waters, but God gives increase. He gives increase. What's growing on in, up in me? A new tree. A new tree. What is it doing? Cursing that sycamine tree. Whew, that thing won't grow up anymore. Because poverty is not a product, for the most part, of how much money you make, or whether you have a job, or whatever. No. The reason for poverty, the biggest reason, is the absence of self-production. The absence of self-production. We will start there next time. But let's look at the scripture one more time now. Let's put it up. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart brings forth evil things. So it's interesting. My future is not in your hands. It's in my heart. And I have to learn the spiritual process of bringing it forth. Now, what does that make me act like? God. He said, be imitators of God. Well, look what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'm just going to imitate God. Watch this. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form or void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, here's the Holy Ghost. He's out there over that earth. It was all water on the top, moving. He was moving. Now, why isn't anything happening? Because he had no word. He's got no word. And so what happens now? Look what God says. And God said, he didn't think, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Where was light? Inside of God. What did he do to get it out? Spoke it. So what he wanted to happen outside first had to be inside. And once he spoke it, light was. Why? The Holy Spirit's out there waiting. His job is to manifest the word. We were having I'll close with this. We were having a healing service, healing and miracles. Make sure you put miracle on there. He was having a healing and miracle service, and so it was the pandemic. I mean, in the middle of it. And so what happens is my secretary called and said, Pastor, are we going to have our healing service? We have one on the schedule. I said, yeah, no, we announce it and people come in who need to be healed by God and so forth and so on. I said, yeah. I said, hold on, let me pray about that. I said, because it's a pandemic. And right now, all the churches are, people are not coming to the churches and so forth, because that was they had made the rule in the state of Illinois and USA and so forth. And I said, wow, what are we going to do? I said, God said, well, have it. I said, oh, okay. All right. Okay, so what happened was I told Pat, my secretary, I said, listen, or my assistant, I said, Pat, we're going to have it. I said, so let's put up the promo and let people know that we're going to have it, you know, next Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay. Now, I'm counting on God now, because I saw in a place in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8 where the centurion told Jesus, said, you don't need to come to the house. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, who's miles away. And what did Jesus do? He said, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He ended up speaking. He went home. The servant was healed. So God goes past distance. And when you're operating in the kingdom, in the spirit, you have dominion over space, time, and matter. So they go away. They don't hinder you at all. So I begin to give some words and so forth on God's plan for your healing and your health. And I begin to give those words. And once I did that, I finished that teaching, but that's about 40 minutes or so. And after that, why? Because faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word. So now they had faith. And now I said, okay, it's time for healing. And I began to just look in the spirit and just say what I saw come to my mind. Say it, just say it. God is healing a miracle. He's healing a right knee. He's healing. And call them all out. I got done. And the enemy immediately closed in on my mind and said, well, nothing happened. Because I told them, if they get healed, text me. Now, don't text me if you're believing for healing. Now, I understand that. I'm looking for a miracle. I'm looking for right now, evidence, proof, right now. And so what happened? Nobody texted. Man, now it's going on 5 minutes and nobody texts. Now, that's 5 minutes, a long time when you're in the middle of preaching and nothing being said or whatever. So I said, sing another song. Let's sing another song. All of a sudden, here come texts. So many, it broke the system that we were using, whatever the third-party provider was. We broke that and so forth. 668 healings or something like that came in, broke the system. What happened? There's no distance. It's what you believe. And if you believe God can't do that, he can't do it for you. But if you believe he can. And I found out, wait a minute. It's according to what I believe. This tree. I got to make sure the right tree is in me, because a good deposit will bring forth good things. So your prosperity is not up to them. You're made like God. It's up to you. You're self-contained. And the biggest reason for poverty is not because somebody doesn't have any money or living in a certain country. No. The biggest reason for poverty is absence of self-production. You control your own destiny, not them. You do. Now, I wanted to get that over to you. That's going to be the first lesson we're going to take. We're going to take up from here next time. Go over to Mark's Gospel in chapter 8, verse 24. And this is Jesus. He had a blind man. The blind man wanted to be healed. So Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of town. Why? Because you can be around so much unbelief sometimes. It fills the atmosphere. And sometimes it's hard to get manifestations of miracles in those environments. Because the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown because of unbelief. So if Jesus could do it, you know we as his disciples and apostles and followers, the same thing. So here you got to build the atmosphere and so forth. But here's a man. He took him out of town and then he laid his hand on his eyes and asked him, what did he see? And here's what the man said in verse 24. He said, he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees. I see men as producers. Walking. Walking always symbolizes spiritual maturity. We got to grow up, church. And I see men as distributors, walking, blessing people, lifting a hunger from different places of the earth and providing healing and providing healing miracles and so forth and so on. I see men as trees, as being in places of marketplace ministries, of making entertainment feel and so forth. I see ministry producers. That's what you are. Now, we're going to start here next time, because I'm talking to you as a producer. I don't know what you produced in the past, but those days are over. The time for you toiling, trying to struggle, trying to make ends meet, that's over. This is going to be your year.